Good morning, everybody. We will be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, this morning. I'll be doing verses 1 to 17, and then just jumping ahead a few and doing verses 33 to 35. If you have your Bible with you, I'll also be reading from Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. So if you wanted to find that now and stick a bookmark or your finger in it. But first we'll look at John chapter 13, verse 1 to 17. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example, that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." And just skipping to 33. "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The next reading is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father."
Amen.
All right. Okay. Hello again, and happy Easter once more. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died in our place, and today we get together to remember, to grieve over his death, but to celebrate his death and all the great things that come to us through his death. But I want to take you this morning to the night before Jesus died, when he gathered together with his disciples for a meal. And so they're enjoying the meal. Here we go. We'll do a bit of a reenactment. Oh, here we go. So Jesus was sitting at the in the seat of honour at the meal, and things were going okay. Things were a little bit tense because they knew not everything was going as they had planned. Jesus was obviously, there was something going on. And then there came a point during the meal where Jesus got up from his seat of honour and he stepped down from the table and he grabbed an apron and put it around his waist and he started washing his disciples' feet. Now, we're going to do a reenactment of this, and I've asked a couple of the young ones from church. Any volunteers out there? Anyone want to have their foot washed? All right, yeah. Well, Rachel, where are you, Rachel? Come on. Look, welcome, Rachel. Oh, and I'm going to help you step up onto the stage. Your feet look beautifully clean. You're not the right person for this. I picked Rachel because she had sandals, and so I thought there was a chance, but not clean enough. Not dirty enough, so let's make a change to that. All right, so a bit of sweat, right, to start with, because, like, these guys walked around, you know, hot, dusty environment, you know, just in leather sandals, so lots of sweat. Lots of donkey, yeah, all right, okay. So what I've got here is some dirt, so can you stand in there, and we'll just get your feet a little bit more dirty, okay. And as Gordon suggests, we have got a bit of manure mixed in with there as well, because it wasn't just dirt on the streets. It was, you know, also cow dung and, you know, manure and stuff. No, not real. I didn't really. But that's what they would have had. Okay, and then take a seat. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to wash Rachel's feet. But while I do, I want you to talk to the person next to you about that. Why did Jesus wash his disciples' feet? Have a quick word to the person next to you. Okay. Lucky you. I'll sit next to you. Oh. There we go. How does that feel? Oh, very nice. Okay, looking pretty clean now. So Jesus washed his disciples' feet. You've thought about the answer to that question. Washing people's feet was a really lowly task back in the first century. It's something that a slave might do, but you wouldn't expect an ordinary person to do it for you, and especially you wouldn't expect someone as important to Jesus. And yet Jesus does it, washes his disciples' feet. It was really awkward for them because they didn't expect this. And the question is, why does Jesus do it? Now, I wonder whether you've come up with some answers. So I'm going to come up with a few answers to that question. The first is because their feet were dirty. And now I know that sounds like an obvious answer, but, you know, you know how if you've been working hard all day and you come home, and, you know, and if you've been working, like, I mean hard work, not just sitting in an office. Sorry, I'm not saying, I work in an office, but I mean sweaty, dusty, dirty sort of work. You come home and you're covered in filth and sweat and you're smelly and you just long to have a shower, don't you? and just the feeling of having a shower is just a massive relief. And the, having your feet washed was the, like the first century equivalent of that, just that sense of relief. So for someone to do it, especially for someone like Jesus to do it, was a great act of love and kindness. Do you feel better now that I've washed your feet? No. Do you feel better? No, try to get... Yeah, you're helping me. Yeah, all right. Okay, well, thank you very much, Rachel. And you've got lovely feet and they're very easy to clean. So, terrific. All right, now, one level, there's an obvious reason. Their feet were dirty and he cleaned their feet. But so surprising that someone so important would do such a yucky, smelly, dirty sort of job. Now, I just want to ask you one other question, and this is the last sort of interaction, so I don't think I'll make you answer all the questions today. But what is the most yucky or messy or humiliating thing you've ever done in the name of love? Okay? Because that's why Jesus washed his disciples' feet. It was an expression of his love for them. So, I want you to talk about that. Quick discussion with the person next to you. What's the most yucky or messy or humiliating thing you've done in the name of love? Okay. I don't want you to be too grossed out. You might have one of those people sitting next to you who's going through a really long and drawn out and disgusting story at this point. I don't want any of those really long, disgusting stories, but does anyone have a short just comment? You know?
Dirty nappy?
You changed dirty nappy, Paul. Wow. And as a parent, you realise it is an act of great love because... I don't need to go there, right? But you kids who have never done it, right, your parents loved you, and that was an expression of their love. What's that?
Spew and poo.
Spew and poo. Okay, all right. We don't need to go any further. Yeah, but, oh, yeah, all right, okay. Did anyone want to... So you don't have to add to that same genre of thing, but any others? Okay, there's lots of yucky... smelly, humiliating things we do in the name of love. And that's what Jesus was doing with his disciples' feet. Why did he wash their feet? Because their feet were dirty and sweaty and smelly. But there's more to it than that. And hopefully as you talked about it, you pick this up. You see, Jesus had been with these disciples for 3 years already, but this was the first time he had washed their feet. Why does he wait till the last night that he is with them before he washes their feet? There's something significant about this that he wants to leave in their minds before he goes. And verse 12, have you look at your outlines there. Verse 12 of John chapter 13 says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. He returned to his seat of honour and he said, do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. So here's the second reason why Jesus washed his disciples' feet. It was an expression of love, but also it was an example for them to follow. But I do have a third reason, but I will hold that back for the time being. So, if Jesus is saying, I'm your teacher and Lord, if I'm willing to serve you and love you in such a messy, undignified, humble way, then you ought to be willing to love and serve one another in that same way. Right? It's not above you to get down and dirty in loving and serving. Now, this reminds me of when I was visiting Parliament House recently. And I turned up to Parliament House expecting and hoping to see Julia Gillard sitting in her seat in Parliament. But you'll never guess what happened. So I walked into Parliament House and, you know, it was a long trip, so I was busting. And I walked into the bathroom and there was a lady cleaning the toilets. And stagger me, she turned around. I actually took a photo. Where are we? We switched over. There we go. Let's have a look. I don't know how to do that anymore. It's not that I'm above, it's below me, it's just I don't know how to do it. Here we go. Right, so that's what I expected to see. Walk into the bathroom and... I had to take a photo because I didn't think you'd believe me unless I did. And it was the last thing I expect, but she said to me... Oh, Dave, I heard you were coming. And I was thinking, I didn't know I was that important, but I heard you were coming and I wanted to make sure the bathrooms were presentable for you. And there you go. And same thing happened when I went to the White House. Right? I expected to see President Obama sitting in the Oval Office, right? And this is what I expected. He wasn't there, so I went searching and there he was in the kitchen, washing the dishes, right? You know, from the staff, you know, party that they'd had. And so then I visited England. This is what I was doing this last week. I do a lot in preparation for these sorts. And there's a big travel bill in my ministry expenses. But I visited England, expected to see the Queen seated on her throne in Her Majesty, but she was not there. She was out on the street collecting the garbage. Now, it's really hard to believe, isn't it? In fact, I want to come clean. I made that up. Seriously, all three of those. Actually, we doctored those pictures, so... Anyway, there you go. So, it's almost unthinkable, isn't it, that Julia Gillard... You'd go to Parliament House and she'd be cleaning the toilets, or that Barack Obama would be washing the dishes in the White House, or the Queen of England would be collecting the garbage, right? Prime ministers and presidents and kings and queens don't get down and dirty like that. We don't expect them to. We don't really want them to. We want them to be in a position of honour. But Jesus is different. He is the King of the universe, but the most humble of servants. And he says to us, if you want to follow me, you need to do the same. Right? Verse 34, a new commandment. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now here at the Lakes Church, as with many, many churches throughout the world. But here at the Lakes Church, one of our big goals is to love one another and to love the community which God has placed us in. Right? That's our goal because we follow Jesus. He was amazing and surprising in the way he showed love. Right? To the people you would least expect, you know, he came and showed compassion on the unlovely and the sick and the poor, to the point where the religious leaders were scandalised. What is Jesus hanging out with these people for? But it's because he loved the people that God had sent him to serve. And so we don't always do this as well as we feel like we should. Right? I'm not saying we're perfect at this at the Lakes Church. Right? We work at it. It's one of our goals. We don't always do it as well as we should. But it is our goal... because we follow Jesus. And I want to say, if you're just visiting this morning, or if you come along to church only now and then, we want you to know how special it is to be part of the community of God's people, a community of people who are committed to serving one another in love. As I say, we don't do it perfectly, but it is surprising and beautiful to be part of it. To people who are willing to love one another even when it gets messy and yucky and hard, and love is often hard, but we still try to love and serve one another, and we do it because we're motivated by the example of Jesus. So, do I have another volunteer? I think Jesse was going to... Can you come on up, Jesse? Yeah, Jesse had sandals as well today. And so we come up front because obviously... Yeah, good. Are you going to come too, Joe? You're welcome. All right. Now, are you happy if I do the same routine? Because your feet are very clean. All right. So there you go. Give you a bit of sweat. There we go. And let's get you in the dirt mixed with manure and dog poo. No, it's only got dirt. It's really only dirt. Okay, it's good. It's like clean dirt. Your mum knows all about that. All right, okay. How you feel? Yep, you swish it around. Okay. All right, you want to make it really hard for me? Okay, that's good. That's good. Don't go overboard, son. All right? Okay. And can you take a seat in the seat of honour there, Jesse? This one here? Yeah, here we go. Let's. I know you could have done that yourself, but you know it's just part of the service. Okay. And so what Jesus was doing was washing his disciples' feet as an illustration of his love for them, but also, what was that? Did you take that down? Did you? Ah, okay. All right. An expression of his love for them, but also as an example for them to follow. But then he came to Peter, and you can be Peter today, Jesse, and he came to Peter, and Peter said, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus said to Peter, you don't understand what I'm doing now, but later you will understand. Right? And it's an interesting thing to say, isn't it? There's something that Peter didn't yet understand, and it would only be after Jesus' death and resurrection that Peter would fully understand what had taken place. And then Peter says, no, you will never... Like this, Pete. No deal type thing. Anyway, Peter said, no, you will never wash my feet. And Jesus said something really surprising. What does it say? If I don't wash you, you can have no part with me. Or something like that, right? If I don't wash you, you can have no part with me. And you think, wow, that's really heavy. We just thought he was washing their feet. But he's saying, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part with me. And so let's do the job here, Peter. Get it all cleaned off. And I'll dry your feet in just a sec. And what we're seeing is that there's actually more to it than what we've already discovered. Give me your feet here and I'll give them a dry. Okay. There you go. Are you happy with that? Do they feel heaps better now? Okay. My kids have never had this done to them. What we're seeing is a third thing, and that is Jesus was giving his disciples an illustration of his own death. Now, you've got to stay here with me, Jesse. Are you happy to stay there? I'll move the water so that you're not dangling above it. So, you see, the reason Jesus came was not to wash smelly, yucky, dirty feet, right? He did do that, and it was real and genuine. But the main reason Jesus came was to wash stained, unclean hearts, which is a much bigger problem than smelly, yucky, dirty feet. True uncleanness is not about how dirty your feet are or how dirty your hands are, but it's about how clean your heart is before God. Washing dirty feet or hands is is actually relatively easy. You've seen me do it. And I know it would have been harder, but it's actually relatively easy. But cleansing our hearts is far more difficult. Right? And if you read the Old Testament part of the Bible, you will see that this was the big issue. Right? How can we have our hearts cleansed before God was the big problem of the Old Testament. The great King David, the greatest man of the Old Testament, wrote a passionate prayer, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Because he knew his heart was not clean, and he knew he couldn't do anything himself to clean his heart. And he realized that to have a proper relationship with God, he needed to be made clean. Now, what do we mean by unclean hearts? Well, we're talking about sin and the stain sin leaves behind. So I've got this shirt, and this is sort of like to illustrate. And I reckon if this was our sin, it would be a lot dirtier and more stained than this, but it just to give you the idea. All right, and let's put this shirt on you. Don't fall asleep there, my friend. All right, we'll put the shirt on you. You ready? Arms up. Can you do that? I haven't dressed a kid for a long time here. My kids do it themselves these days. There we go. All right, where's your head? Righto. Okay, no, oh, you come back out of it. Oh, yeah, all my work's undone. Righto, here we go. Let's try that. Over your head. Righto. I should have got your mother to do this. Okay. Okay, there we go. Oh, beauty. All right, now, you can see, if you keep your hands down there, I don't know whether people can see that, just turn towards Tim there a bit. So, but you see that there's a whole lot of stuff that stains our hearts, like jealousy, hatred, lies, stealing, a whole lot of this stuff that means that our relationship with God is broken. And until those things can be washed clean, we cannot have a proper relationship with God. And I think instinctively we know this is the case. And so what people do is try to do that themselves. They try to wash their hearts clean. So how do people do it? Well, people sometimes go, yeah, I've done stuff that makes me unclean before God, so I'll try to do a whole lot of good stuff to make up for it. But the Bible says, no, it won't actually wash away the stain. In fact, almost always, when people try to do good stuff to outweigh the bad stuff, it only makes it worse and creates more stain because they're doing good stuff for themselves, not out of love, and often they become proud and puffed up as if, how great am I doing all these good things, when it actually hasn't dealt with their problem. Or sometimes people use religion and they say, oh yeah, look, if I do religious stuff, you know, go to church, do the prayers, you know, do the baptism, if I do all the religious stuff, then that will make me clean. But again, the Bible says doing religious stuff will not make you clean. And again, it only makes the problem worse, almost always, because it makes us proud, or it actually means that I'm focused on me and what I have to do rather than loving other people. The only way the problem of sin can be dealt with is by Jesus coming and taking our sin away. And that's what Good Friday is all about. That's why we remember it. Because what Jesus did... You're doing good. All right. What Jesus did is he came along... Now, I've got a trick here. So if you lift your hands, arms up. Look at that. He came. So Jesus came and took our sin away. Right? He didn't become sinful, but it's like he carried our sin and died in our place, and he bore the penalty for everything that we had done. He removed the stain. And so where that leaves us is just like Jesse, have a look there, with a clean heart. There we go. Okay. Washed clean. Now, thanks, Jesse. You can go and sit down now, man. And you can keep that shirt on for now because you've got a clean heart now. You don't have to. But... But go and do it with your mum here. Go. All right, good on you. Good on you. And thanks for Jesse. We've got very willing helpers. So the point is, if we trust in Jesus, who has taken our sin and carried it to the cross where he died in our place, right, and he paid the price for all our sin, and if we trust him, we are left clean. Our sin is completely removed. We now have a restored relationship with God. Jesus deals with all our sin, right? Past sin, present sin, and future. Right? And it is wonderful. Once you realise the confidence we can have before God because of Jesus taking our sin away, it is just so wonderful. And he guarantees us a welcome into heaven if we just trust him and what he's done for us. So come back to John 13. So when Jesus washed his disciples' feet, it was symbolic, an illustration of his death. Right? But notice the order of how things take place. Right? Jesus is in the seat of honour. He leaves the seat of honour, puts on an apron as a servant, stoops down, kneels, and washes his disciples' feet before he takes off the apron, returns to his seat of honour. Now, that is a picture of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. So here is Jesus, and before he became man, he enjoyed intimate relationship with God in heaven. But what happened 2,000 years ago is that Jesus entered our world. He left his seat of honour, entered our world as a man, and not just a man, but a suffering servant who put on the outfit of a servant and he stooped down all the way to the point where he died on the cross to bring us cleansing of our sin. The foot washing was just an illustration of a much deeper cleansing. And then after Jesus had done the job of cleansing our hearts, he then was raised up again and he's now seated at the right hand of God with all glory and honour. Now, I want you to have a look at that passage from Philippians 2 that Dave read earlier, and you'll see that's exactly what it has in mind. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. It's talking about Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. So he's in very nature God, but he steps down. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, and this is what we're focusing on Sunday, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's just magnificent what Jesus has done for us. And on that night before he died, he gave us a picture, an illustration of his death and all that he'd come to do. So what does it mean for you and me? The first and fundamental point where this passage hits home for us is this. Have you been cleansed by Jesus? I think a lot of people read this passage and don't realise that's the most important question of all. Have you been cleansed by Jesus? Jesus said to Peter, "Unless I wash you, you can have no part with me." Christianity is not for good people. It's not for people who think, oh, I'm good enough on my own. Christianity is all about sinners who are being cleansed by Jesus and his death for us. That's why he died. And you know, that is good news for everyone. It's good news for everyone in this room because let's face it, we're all sinners. Right? Now, we're not always very open about sharing that or acknowledging that. Sometimes we pretend that we're much better than we are. But we are all unclean before God, and our only hope is for Jesus to come and wash us clean. And praise God, that is exactly what he did when he died on the cross. So that all who trust in him are made clean, have confidence, not just now, but into the future. And that is a wonderful thing. And I want to say to you, if you don't know what it is to have been cleansed by Jesus, to have your heart washed clean and your sin removed, come and talk to me afterwards, or Mike, or we've got some great ways you can actually find out more. But this is too big and too significant and too valuable to just walk away and not pursue further. Have you been cleansed by Jesus? But it does raise a second point of application, and that is, are you following Jesus' example of loving service? Knowing that Jesus washed his disciples' feet that night, he was willing to stoop. You know, the king of the universe, willing to kneel down and get dirty and wash. That is a powerful example. And then when you realise that's only an illustration of a much more profound humility, where he actually left the right hand of the Father to the point where he was mocked and beaten and spat on and whipped and ultimately crucified. And you just think, whoa, the greatest of them all has become the most humble, suffering servant. But he did it because he loves us. And he did it to wash us clean, and he did it because that was our only hope for us being clean before God. And so when you realise that is the love, the extreme love that Jesus had for us, then what it ought to do is, if it ought to compel us to love one another in the same way, where we go, I want to imitate Jesus. I want to follow Jesus, and I want to imitate a life of selfless love where I am willing to get dirty and go through the hard times and the difficulties and even embarrassments for the sake of loving other people. Will you follow Jesus in that? Because that is what he calls you to do. I'm going to lead us in prayer. Will you pray with me? God our Father, we are really just blown away by Jesus and his amazing love for us. Just as it's a love we see in his willingness to serve in such a humble way. And we see it most especially on the cross, where Jesus chose to die and lay down his life for us. And Father, we pray that you will cleanse us through Jesus, that he will take our sin away, that he will remove the stain of our sin so that we can be right with you, forgiven, given the hope of eternal life. And Father, we pray that we will follow Jesus' example, that you'll transform our hearts to be clean, but also to be motivated with that same selfless love that we see in Jesus, that same costly love and service. We pray will characterize each one of us and our church. We pray that we'll be a light to our community. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.